Well, I hope that you came with expectation. I hope you came this morning realizing that God is all in all. And He's marvelous, He's wondrous. And you know what? No matter what you go through, He's still God. He's still Lord. And exalt Him, love Him, praise Him for all your worth. Amen. I was scared this morning. Chad opened up the Bible to 1 Samuel. I forgot he was teaching out of there. It was probably good that I forgot, or I would have went against what I believe is God's will. Then I thought, oh boy, he's going to preach my message. And I knew he couldn't because it was in my pocket. 1 Samuel chapter 30 this morning. He was all around it. Would you believe? Never even read my text. But as I thought about it, it really don't matter. Because as we read the Word of God, we learn, amen? We come back to it, we learn something else. You know why we do that? Because we've matured a little bit. And so now we see something a little bit different than we saw it before, because there's some more things working in the mind. It's just really marvelous. Chapter number 30. I have no idea how far I'm supposed to read, but we'll just stop somewhere we get down here. There is one verse that I want you to particularly see this morning. There's others there, but one verse that sticks out to me. It says, it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives. Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop, shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Bezor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Bezor. And we read the rest of the story, and we find how David went down and won the battle and was able to retrieve his family along with the families of all those men, and to bring him back safely. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your goodness, your graciousness. We want to thank you this morning that you're not only good and gracious, but you're righteous, you're holy. Lord, we see from your word that holiness is probably more delighted in heaven than any other attribute. And so we love you for being one who is completely righteous. For without you, we would never understand or comprehend whatsoever our horrible sinful state. Lord, I pray you might bless, work as we look through the Word of God this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm looking for a water bottle down here, but it disappeared. Is there one in there? Okay. You pushed it back? Okay. There's more in here. Oh, my goodness. That vase down there, I don't know who bought those. They're pretty, but every time I see it, I think of a snake coming up and this guy with a... Did you buy those, Teresa? Huh? I'm in trouble now. How many would like a water? One of my favorite phrases in the Bible is found in verse 6. Let's look at it again. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of what? Stoning him. Because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But here's the phrase. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. So many times through life, so many times has there been those discouraging moments that the only thing that I could do was turn to the Lord. The only thing that would get through would be able to see, hey, in Christ, we are victors. It's the only way through. These nine words come on the heels of rejection by his men and calamity from the invading forces. But God shows him a great lesson in following his leadership. We find there's no record of him inquiring of God to join with the Philistines to begin with. But God in his mercy stirs the princes of the Philistines to disallow David from going to fight against the Israelites. You read of that in the preceding chapters, and that was dealt with in Sunday school. If you weren't here, you have to stay afterwards. You are have a detention, and we will go through that again. But God, in his mercy, brought about some men who said, hey, we don't want you going to battle with us. And when we are in the position where we're not following the Lord as we ought, it is interesting how God will bring things about. Our text unfolds the fact that we need to follow him rather than the world, or we find ourselves in some dire circumstances. When they found their abode burned and their families taken captive, David and his men were overcome with grief. I want us to stop and consider this morning just a couple of things, and I will say briefly, but you don't trust preachers when they say briefly. When they say this is going to be short, what do you think? Kick off the shoes. Find me a good spot to yawn. Boy, I've learned one thing sitting in the pew. It's hard for me to stay awake. It's a bad deal. Can I take time out for a moment? I get so enraptured with things that God has made. Read the story of a missionary. And by the way, there are some, what we call the Sword of the Lord, some publication. I don't know if there's still any on the table out there or not. But feel free to take one of those. In that paper, there will be three sermons. There's also newsworthy items. There's all sorts of illustrations, poems, you name it, it's there. Advertisements, if you want them. But it's, I think, a very good newspaper. As I was reading that, I come across this story. It's a missionary story, and I found it quite interesting. Missionary was down in South America, and he's been many years ago. It was in a time when they didn't get support from the United States like they do so often, and so they'd have to conjure up their own food from time to time. They would grow gardens, they would grow their vegetables and fruits, and from time to time they would go out hunting that they might supply their families with meat. And he was out hunting, and he'd been going through the jungle, and he saw a log that he decided to sit down and rest for a little bit. So here's this rotten log that he's sitting on, and pretty soon he hears this bird up in a tree just pitching a fit. And it really gathers his attention. And then he notices right next to the bird, there's a nest, and he sees the hole. And in that little hole, the entrance to that nest, he could tell, he was close enough, he could tell that the mother bird was in there with some babies. And evidently the father bird was outside pitching a fit. I don't think it was an argument. He said pretty soon that bird flew off. And as he was watching, he said, I saw the most poisonous snake in South America come to that tree and begin to slither up that tree. He says, I watched that. He says, I just was overcome with grief of what he thought was going to happen. And pretty soon, this papa bird comes back. He's got a twig in his mouth with several leaves upon it, and he carefully places it over the opening of that nest. And then he backs off, and he's not complaining now. He's very relaxed. And that snake comes up, and pretty soon he brings his head up to look right into that nest and to probably capture its prey. But as soon as he turned his head toward the nest, he turned the other direction and slithered back down the tree. The missionary, mesmerized by this total scene, went to the nest and grabbed that twig. And he went to some of the natives and he said to them, or told them the story. And those natives said, of all the trees in the forest, there's something about that particular bush that is poisonous to that snake. And they stay away from it. Interesting story. The application was made that there is a tree that keeps Satan away. We call it the cross of Calvary. Amen. But as I stopped and thought about that particular story, some other thoughts came to my mind, because we have not only a God who supplies us with a tree, but we have a God that has created everything. How would that snake know that that twig could kill him? Say, well, he evolved. Can you imagine if you partook of that stick and you died? What's going to evolve from you? Nothing. You can't teach the next generation because you're dead. It's gone. Who taught the snake that? God. Who taught the bird? how to protect his family. Did he by chance go and pick up that particular twig, thinking it would keep the snake out? I think not. We have a marvelous God. Amen. Well, let's go back to our text. I want us to stop and think about this particular place that David is in, because he was in a place of uncontrollable circumstances. Never underestimate the desire of the wicked one to destroy your family. Here we find he is gone for a time, and as he is gone, there are those who come and steal his family. We understand that neglect upon our part, dads especially, we need to think about it, will lead to the captivity of the world. How there needs to be that kind of a life, that kind of watching over our young ones, they might come to not only know the Lord, but to be able to handle circumstances in their lives. Not only was there an uncontrollable circumstance, but I find that there was some very unjust criticism. We find his men who had followed him in battles. We find that they're criticizing their leader. I think about the blame game that's going on in America. It's gone on for years and years, ever since the Garden of Eden. When God approached Eve, she said, well, it was a snake. God approached Adam, he said, well, it's the woman. By the way, husbands have been doing that ever since. But we find that certainly here were those who were very close to David. And when the times got rough, they turned upon him. How did David react? It becomes very important. Act in those situations, whether you are the leader in your family, leader in a Sunday school class, a pastor of a church, whatever it is, there is something that is very necessary. No matter what the circumstances, no matter what the criticism, leaders must march forward in the face of the enemy. While most sit back whining and complaining, need to go forward. Last week, I called Randy King. He will be with us in September. And he's pastored for many, many years up in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. He is now their missions pastor and does a lot of traveling and evangelistic work. And he's going to come and preach for us 4 days. God's wonderfully used him, and he just has a tremendous, a very loving nature about him. I don't know how many times he's called me or sent me a text saying I'm praying for you and hope the best for you. That was before I got sick. But I called him, and as I was discussing with him that, he said to me, well, how's it been going? I says, well, you know, I've been amazed. I said, I was amazed when I came to in the hospital and found out that we had a missions conference and it had gone up by 15%. Do you realize you folks promised over $115,000 this year to the cause of missions? I told him that, and he says, who preached for you? I said, Steve Ziner. He and Steve have become good friends. Steve has preached for him in days gone by. And he said this to me. That Steve was a part of the Bearing Precious Seed, a ministry out of First Baptist Church in Milford, Ohio. He says, one thing I have noticed with those fellows who have worked in that ministry is that they don't sit around complaining about the difficulty of the task. They set themselves in position to go forward. They want to know, how can we get this job done? And you know, that's what I believe we find here with David. by encouraging himself in the Lord. Why was he doing that? He wanted to get a job done. We find here a leader who rises up from the heap. He encourages himself in the Lord. No doubt in that encouragement, he remembered some of the psalms he had penned. You go back and read Psalm 3 or Psalm 5 and others throughout the 150 chapters that are there. Many of those are chapters of encouragement. He was an encourager. But in the times of discouragement, he could encourage himself in the Lord. What a beautiful thing is when the Word of God comes to mind in difficult times. I lay amazed in hospital bed at scripture that came to my mind and the comfort that it brought and really the direction it gave me in realizing that God was still in control. He's a great God. And so David, as he looked to the Word of God, perhaps as we think of the Psalms, we might think of songs. I fear that Christians in our modern society are shortchanging themselves by wanting to go to so-called pop music, contemporary style. That which needs, in order to be done properly, some background that you don't normally carry with you. I find from Scripture in the book of Ephesians that when a person is filled with the Holy Spirit of God, they sing out of the heart. It's not something you have to have somebody produce on the outside and you sing along. It is something that's out of your heart. And my, what a marvel it's been to have those songs in the night and many times through the day come into the heart and to sing them to myself. It is encouraging in the Lord. But I find that because of that, something very interesting. He inspired others to go forth. Rather than lash out at their criticism, listen, as king, he could have had him slain. He could have brought him and put the whip to those who were complaining the loudest. But we do not read of that. And rather than lash out at those criticisms, we find he challenges them to take up the real fight. Now the reason he can say to them, we need to go, and challenges them, and that is because he what? Encouraged himself in the Lord. When you encourage yourself in the Lord, you're in a realization, I'm in the right place. And so David, as a result of that, met with God and said, should I go up? And God said, yep. Can I take him? Yep. We learn of his will. We learn of his direction. He's marvelous. 40 years ago, we were in camp. It was my first year. Church was having a real difficult time. I was being rather stupid. How many would say amen to that? I've done that. I was being rather stupid on some things. But there were some others being stupid too. I didn't know how to handle it. I didn't know what to do. It was Thursday afternoon. And all the camp at that time went over to the Devil's Head and walked up that mountain. But I stayed back. I was young and I wasn't able to do it, but I stayed back. Mostly because I stayed in the dorm and I wanted a nap. As I was walking over the dorm, those who have been out there, you know that there's a big bridge that goes across there. As you go down the steps from Wells Fargo and you walk across that bridge. And along about in the middle of that, I run to a fellow. His name was Dan Allen. Do any of you remember Dan Allen? A couple of you. Dan Allen was Al Wells' dad. Some of you don't even know who Al Wells is. But Dan Allen was in his mid-70s, getting close to 80. And we stopped and we yacked. I honestly do not know what we talked about. I think I told him some of my troubles, and he listened. I don't remember him giving me any advice, but he listened. I walked off that bridge about an hour and a half later, went to the dorm and laid down on the cot, didn't have much time before they all came back. And I knew almost immediately the direction God wanted me to go in, how to handle the situation. And God was so gracious in that. He's marvelous. Encourage yourself in Him. Amen? How do you do that? Knowing who He is. Knowing He is desirous to work on your behalf. Knowing that you're walking with Him and you're not in a position of His condemnation or His hand of judgment. He's a great God. Encourage yourself in Him. Amen. We're living some days that we need that. We need it desperately. You need it, I need it. Chad spoke of it this morning, but America's at war. It's not so much North Korea or Russia or China as it is with ourselves. And it's a horrible mess. But encourage yourself in Him. Amen. You'll be unjustly criticized, but look to Him. You'll have circumstances you cannot control, but look to Him. He will meet every one of those needs. If you're lost today without Christ, He wants to save your soul. Do you realize that you and I deserve to die and go to hell? They told me I coded two times. I guess that means I died twice. I don't know. I wasn't awake. But I know where the soul would be. Encourage yourself in the Lord. But if you are lost, you can't do that in the Lord. You can only seek to encourage yourself in what this world has to offer, and it's not very pretty. So you need to accept Him as your Savior. Realize that your sin is against God. I've asked hundreds of people, do you realize you're a sinner? Most people will say yes, but most people will qualify that, maybe not out loud, but they will say something as this, but not that bad. Yeah, you are. Paul said, I was the chiefest of sinners. He was a Pharisee. He was a leader amongst the Jewish people. He was a very religious man. He followed the law of God, and yet he recognized that he was very, very sinful. And I'll close with this. We had a dear lady in our church many years ago named Gertrude. If the wind blew very hard, it'd knock her over. She was so frail. I'm not sure if she weighed over 80 pounds. She was a pianist. She taught piano all her life. She often laughed that she lived in Poverty Gulch. She lived in prosperity because she knew where God was, and He always provided her needs. I don't think ever owned a car, but always got there. Oh, just amazing. She was sick. She was near the end. I stopped at a house and we're talking. And I said to her, I want to thank you because you are, in my mind, the purest woman I've ever known. I've used you as an example many times. I wish you could have saw the expression on her face as she shook her head no with disgust that I would think such a thing. Here's this woman that I would say is pure, but she saw her impurity. And thus she saw the grace of God. There's where we need to be at. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for these who have overcome, these who have come up against the obstacles, and yet through your power and your goodness have been able to overcome, to endure. Lord God, work in our hearts that when we have these times in our lives that we might, as David, encourage ourselves in you. That we might allow the psalms, the songs, the scriptures to remind us of you and your greatness. And all things do work together for good to them that love God. Blessing these moments of invitation. Lord, no doubt in this room there's somebody who needs Jesus. They need to recognize their sinful condition and turn to you. No doubt in this room are Christians who are discouraged. Maybe some have been at the end of critical remarks of others. Lord, I pray that they might be able to encourage themselves in the Lord. Bless in these moments, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.